I thought might be a good idea for us to examine the reality of our situation. While things are tough around us, this isn't actually our home. This is where we live. As ambassadors, we are in this foreign land, foreign to God, foreign to us. But we are here with official business to represent our country, heaven, and our master, our king, King Jesus. So what is actually our situation? Well, 1 Peter 3:12, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against," literally is upon, "them that do evil." Psalm 34:15-16. "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth." So Peter was quoting this passage. What we need to gather from this is, number one, God stays aware of our situation. He is in personal contact with each one of us as his ambassadors. First Peter says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over." This is the preposition epi, meaning upon the righteous. He has his eyes on us. Psalm 34:15, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous." You remember the promise that Christ made at the end of the, I think of his great commission as sandwiched between two promises. One is, "I have all power." So the promise of his power, at the end he says, "Lo, I am with you, even unto the end of the world," end of the age, literally. And that's the promise of power, the promise of presence. And in between power and presence is the standard of the Great Commission. Disciple people. This is get them saved and teach them how to discipline themselves according to Christ. So Matthew 28:20, and then Romans 8:38-39, "I am persuaded," the apostle says, "that neither death nor life," you know, that's pretty much everything. Those two things cover everything for us. But then he goes on, "nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers," and those are ranks of angels, "nor things present, nor things to come." So since past is already gone, you have the things that are happening and the things that will happen. Again, that covers everything. "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature." None of these things, none of these conditions shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. As God the Father loves his Son, we are in his Son, therefore he loves us and will never be separated. When will God abandon his Son? That's not going to happen, is it? Well, that's when he would abandon the Christians who are in Christ. So, although God sees all men at all times, the language here emphasizes not just seeing, not just noticing, but continual guardianship. This is watching over, you see, his watch care. So that's where we are. God is staying aware of us. There are people who are saying, well, where is God when this happens? Let me give you another little key to this thing. Romans 8:28, "For all things work together for what? For good to whom? To those that are called according to his purpose." And you say, what? I had some things happen to me that weren't very good. What you mean is they weren't pleasant. And I want you to distinguish between what is good and what is pleasant. When you were children, Did your parents, and I know the answer is yes, because you're decent people. Did your parents chastise you, spank you, see? Tunis kids never know anything about that, but that wasn't pleasant, but it was good. If you want to understand good, then you go to the next verse that says that God predestined, they planned ahead, that we would be conformed to the image of Christ. That's God's definition of good. Well, what did Christ suffer? Lots of things, you see. His family didn't understand him. His disciples betrayed him. He said to them plainly that he was going to die and rise again, and they were clueless, you know. So he suffered all of that type of thing. You and I, to become like him, will have to suffer with him. And that will be good. It's another way of looking at it is, whatever's happening to you, God is in control. God is watching in guardianship over you. And if he allows it, it ends up that this will be good for you. So toughen up. See? Say, well then, let's get through this. See? Let me learn what I'm supposed to learn. Let me gain the virtue I'm supposed to learn to gain here. Let me ask this question. Who are the righteous that God watches? That's what he said. His eyes are over the righteous. Well, Romans 1:17, what is in the gospel? Therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God. The gospel is not telling us to walk the straight and narrow, as much as it is saying that God offers us the chance to have counted in our life the righteousness of God. Not just human righteousness, even perfect human righteousness. That's not enough. We need the righteousness of God. That comes in the gospel, revealed from faith to faith, as written, the just shall live by faith. The just are those who are justified. Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience, and who is that? Many were made sinners, that was Adam. So by the obedience of one, Christ, shall many be made righteous. This is salvation. This is the Christian life. This is who we are after we got saved. We have been declared righteous. That's what justification means. He has actually named us as righteous. So it's us. His eyes are on our situation because his eyes are on the righteous. Second thought, God listens to our cries. It is my opinion that we don't take our situation seriously enough if we're not crying to God. I want you to become aware of how often God says he heard the cry, or the cry went up to heaven and he came down to Sodom and Gomorrah because of the cry that went up. It wasn't the cry of people doing sinning. It was the cry of the people who were being hurt by those sins. His own people, his own children being hurt. And we need to be crying out to God. Psalm 34:17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. 2 Chronicles 7:13 and 14. I had mentioned at the beginning the plagues that are upon us. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, famine, you know, drought, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Pestilence makes people sneeze and other terrible things. This is the punishment of sin. It's what sin does to us. Then verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, not being proud, we'll get through this. He's not going to take us down. And pray and seek my face. It's interesting that in this context, praying could be done without seeking his face. But if I sought my father's face, my physical father, my family father, earthly father, then I would come around and get in front of his face so that he would see me and talk to me, see? He was often busy reading and doing some other things. But if I seek his face, then I'm not ashamed for him to see me. And then I can ask, I can pray. Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, we have not been given America like Israel was given the promised land. But it's a natural consequence. When sin is given free rein, sin destroys. Sin brings about illness. It's called uncleanness. When we abandon that sin, become a better witness and a better example to people around us, it automatically cleans up the land. So he does that. Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. John reveals to us, 1 John 5:14-15, this is the confidence that we have in or concerning him, God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So asking for an elephant for your birthday, you might not be able to pray in Jesus' name because that's not something that's going to help you with your testimony. Not that I can imagine. But according to his will, if our will has been submitted to his will, then he gives us our will, you see. He heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, gives us a proper hearing, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. When we can ask something that he actually hears, we can count on receiving it. And third and last is, God is sternly aware of those who persecute us. Sternly aware. You say, they're doing all this stuff and nobody can touch them. They're getting away with it. Maybe, so far. But the God who's watching over us and listening to our cries is sternly aware of them. 1 Peter 3:12, and the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. This word for evil is just anything that is not good, doesn't reach the level of being good. Psalm 34:16, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. We don't know who did that before, although there's names of Canaanite tribes that we find no archaeological evidence of them, at least not yet. They were so completely cut off that the remembrance of them is gone. The Hittite nation that was mentioned several times, it was a term of mockery to the archaeologists. Ha! We have no evidence that there was ever Hittites. See, you can't trust the Bible. Then suddenly, boom, 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 they found that the Hittite was a great nation stemming from the north to the south of Israel with the headquarters up to the north. And they, once they discovered that, they said, oh, that's what those things were. We didn't know what they were. It's all Hittite. And so they said, now we believe in the Bible. No, they didn't say that. They said, we discovered the Hittites and the Hittite kingdom. But God says, when you do that which violates your humanity, I will remove you from humanity's remembrance. Deuteronomy 32:35. To me, God says, belongeth vengeance. and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. They can't see it now, but the black dragon of torment is headed straight for them, faster than they know. Romans 12:19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. What if you're tired of the elephant walking in your yard, so you go out with a stick and you whack him on his leg? Ooh, you're taking such vengeance. And the elephant says, huh, what was that, you know? He says, don't waste your time trying to take your own vengeance. Your little smack with a fly swatter, nothing is happening, see? But rather, give place unto wrath. I would like to say, give place unto real wrath. You ain't seen nothing yet. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. People say, well, they're taking advantage of you. What are you doing about it? I'm waiting for the one who can do something about it to decide it's time. So, it may seem like we're helpless, but we are serving a God that can do anything.